Our text this morning is 1 John 3, verses 13 through 17. And we are looking at the whole subject of Christian assurance, and as we do so, the reality of the Christian faith and what it amounts to. And we're building as we go through this little book of 1 John. As we begin this morning, though, I have to begin on a downside. Now, that's not very good, is it? To talk about something that's a little bit hard. And it's true, though. You know it's true. That in the Church of Jesus Christ, unfortunately, there is not a small amount of hatred and enmity and strife. Congregation after congregation has been consumed with strife. There have been committees. Some of us have been on committees to go to other congregations to deal with division. I thank God for our congregation. Yet we are not exempt from strife. And if we thought we were, I'm afraid God would bring us up short. We love one another. And that's a tremendous thing. I thank God for that. And what is that, folks? That is an evidence of the fact that we are children of God. That's one of the things that John is laying before us in this particular passage. Christian evidences based upon Christian truth. He gives us the Christian truth, first of all, in John chapter 3, verse 13, in this particular section. And it's negative. Do not marvel, brethren, if the world hates you. John is here talking about professing believers. People upon whom the love of God has been bestowed. And you remember, those of you who were with us last week, that we talked about the love of God being bestowed in two different ways. That Jesus Christ came into the world and demonstrated God's love on the cross. That's part of the bestowal of love. But God did not stop there. He poured out His love in our hearts through the Holy Spirit and applied to our hearts the actual work of Jesus Christ. And when He does this, this is the bestowal of love. And this is why John in chapter 3, verse 1 says, "See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God, and such we are." And so John is talking to us. He's talking to professing believers, individuals upon whom the love of God has been bestowed. And he says to these individuals who have been taken out of the world and brought into the kingdom of God. I think we have to understand that. That the Church of Jesus Christ is a kingdom. And we are brought out of the kingdom of the world into the kingdom of the beloved Son. And we are not to love the world. John chapter, or 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 through 17 say, "Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away, and also its lusts. But the one who does the will of God abides forever." There is a distinction between the church and the world, and Christians are not to love the world because we have been brought out of the world. And so John says, in no uncertain terms, do not marvel if the world hates you. Dear friends, do you realize the extent of the differentiation that actually does exist between the church and the world. And that this distinction is a God-ordained distinction, and a distinction that must be maintained. So don't marvel if the world hates you. That's what John says. And the world does really hate the true church of Jesus Christ. Here in Wichita, in these past days and weeks, there have been demonstrations against abortion. And those who are in favor of abortion do not like, that's putting it mildly, isn't it? Do not like, they hate, they detest protests against abortion. Yet, in Wichita, Kansas, one of the leading abortion clinics in the nation is present, and Kansas is one of the most prolific in the abortion industry among the states of the United States. The demonstrations are needed, and a stand must be taken, but it is hated. Homosexuals, another good example. What a stand they take against the church. An Orthodox Presbyterian pastor in San Francisco has been threatened with his life, his home attacked, his children threatened, the church building literally attacked. Thank God we don't have that sort of thing right here. But it shows the distinction, the real difference and distinction between the church and the world. So don't be surprised. Don't marvel if the world hates you, John says. That's the Christian truth that is set before us. And then Christian evidences are brought in conjunction with this great Christian truth. Look at verse 14. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. And he who does not love abides in death. What a wonderful evidence this is. We know. And John is talking about something which is observable here. It's the same word which he uses in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. When he says, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God in order that you may know that you have eternal life." This is knowledge by observing what takes place in the lives of people. Something we can see. And John is saying, we know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. This is something that we can see among us, and we thank God for it, and it is an evidence that we have passed out of death into life. In the Gospel of John, chapter 5, John uses, well, I should actually say Jesus uses similar words in John chapter 5 and verse 24. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life." You see, what we're talking about here again is individuals like us who have actually been taken out of one kingdom and brought into another kingdom, been transported out of the kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of Jesus Christ, That is, we have been brought out of death into life, and the evidence for that is that we love one another. Now, this is real important, folks. Real important. Because John is placing this in a particular context. John is saying, look, the distinction that is made between the church and the world is that the world hates the church. That's where the boundary line is. And inside that boundary, love abounds. And we have to recognize that if we place ourselves in a position inside those boundaries where we actually express hatred for another person for whom Christ died, we are saying, in open testimony, that we do not belong in the church, but we actually belong in the world. Because it's the world that hates the church. I think this is what John is telling us. And this is why we, as individuals within the church, need to work at loving one another. And it is work. Love is not a feeling. You know, there's a Peanuts card, right? It says, love is a warm puppy. And we get the idea that love is that warm, fuzzy feeling that we get. I think too often young people misconstrue that warm, fuzzy feeling for actual love. And love is something which is observable and is worked out in actions. We're going to see that more next time as we look into 1 John. That's why it becomes such an important evidence. And this is why John puts what he has to say in another context. Let's look at our text again. Do not marvel, brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. He who does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Notice what John says here. He talks about murder in conjunction with hatred. And he does this in a very specific way. He's speaking in the present tense here, which means ongoing, continuous action. In other words, the individual that has an unremitting, unmitigated hatred for someone else is a murderer. Now let's get another distinction here. What John is telling us is that there is a difference between being a murderer and committing murder. King David committed murder, but he was not a murderer. King David committed adultery, but he was not an adulterer. That is, he repented of those things. It was a fall. It was an individual fall that took place, but it was not the prevalent thing in his character. He was not a murderer as a person. That was not his character. And there's a difference. And what John is telling us is that if we bear hatred in our hearts, we are murderers. And you know that no murderer has eternal life. And so what do we need to do? We need to guard against any bitterness cropping up in our lives. We need to guard against hatred that might come up in our lives. And we need to repent of that. It will happen. It's happened to me. It will happen. We need to repent of that. And love our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's what we need to do. Let's go on in this text. We know love by this, that He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and beholds his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Now the Apostle John gives us a couple of very concrete examples of love. He tells us in verse 14, we know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. Now, what does that love mean? How is that love to be defined? Well, he gives it to us. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Jesus Christ came into the world to demonstrate God's love by dying on the cross. And my friends, that was a hands-on demonstration. You know the difference between a demonstration and a display, don't you? A display is static. You go and you look at the pictures. You observe what's in the display. But if you go out to the car dealer and look in the showroom, what does that car dealer say? You want a demonstration? He says, get in the car, turn the key, and let's go for a ride. That's a demonstration. And I assume that any of you who have bought a tractor or a combine don't settle for a display. You want a demonstration of that piece of equipment. You want to get out in that piece of equipment and do the work to see that it does the job that the dealer says it'll do. Jesus Christ comes with a demonstration of the love of God. And we're to demonstrate the love of God too. Not just talk about it. We're to give our lives for others. We're to give of our time, as it has been said. We're to give of our talents, as it has been said. Or to give of our material wealth, as it has been said so many times. It's interesting to me that again in John chapter 2 and verse 15, John says, do not love the world nor the things in the world. Sometimes we are so caught up in the things of the world and our desire to maintain for ourselves those things that we don't give as we should to others. I thank God again for our willingness to give to one another in this congregation, for our willingness to visit one another in the hospital, for our willingness to take food into those who are in need of that food. Do we need to do that? Absolutely. It's a demonstration of our love. Do we need to do more of it? Absolutely, we need to do more of it. I'm really thankful, too, that the last time I went to Kansas City to visit with Aaron Claussen, I got on that end from the Claussen family. We're really glad that you came and visited with us. And on this end, when I came back, I had more than one person say to me, I'm really glad that you went and visited with that family. We need to do it. You folks need to get on the telephone and call them. You need to send cards to them. You need to do these things. Why? Because, dear friends, we are part of the same church. We are part of the same congregation. And how is it that people know that they have eternal life when they give of themselves to one another? Thank God that this is the case. It's an evidence that John lays before us. And there's a second evidence which John lays before us in a more specific manner. Verse 17. But whoever has the world's goods and beholds his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? This word that is translated heart in the New American Standard Version is often in the Gospels translated compassion. And it is the word that is used concerning the Lord Jesus. For example, when he looks at the multitudes and he has compassion on them because they are like sheep without a shepherd. It's the very same word. And it's the word where Jesus is literally pouring out his guts to the people. That's the meaning of the word. The guts, the intestines, the innermost part of the being of a human being. And you know what we're talking about here. When you really have compassion on someone. And that compassion always leads to action. And that's what John is talking about here. But whoever has the world's goods, the things of the world, and you have the ability to help someone else out in the congregation and beholds his brother in need. And what happens? He shuts the door on that compassion. He slams the door shut. Why? Because I want to hang on to my own things myself. I'm not going to share. Now, I don't know how it is in your house, but sometimes we have a struggle at our house along these lines. And we have little debates and discussions along these lines. Every household is the same. We need to learn to share and to give. As John says, and not shut the door on compassion. What does it mean when you shut the door on compassion? Look at our text again. But whoever has the world's goods and beholds his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? You see, when compassion leads to action, it's an evidence of the presence of the Holy Spirit in the life of that individual. When the door is shut, the question may be asked, how does the love of God abide in this person? Well, let's wrap this up. How do we know? How do we know that we have passed out of death into life? Verse 14. We know we have passed out of death into life because we love the brethren. The Christian evidence is plain and simple. It's not proof, folks. Did you hear me on that? It's not proof. It's evidence. What we're doing here is piling up the evidences regarding the Christian life. We're not proving that I am or you are a Christian. But as the evidences pile up, what we are attempting to do is bring assurance to our own lives that we are actually lovers of Jesus Christ. And when you see your brother in need and help him, when the love of God is expressed in the congregation, these are the evidences we want to see. And John is going to tell us in the next section of this little book that this is one of the ways we can persuade our own hearts that we are really believers. May God be at work in your life, and maybe He be at work in my life in this way. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, bless us, we ask. Open these words of Scripture to our hearts. That we may see our own Christian assurance built. Father, each one of us goes through times of doubting. May those doubts be dispelled by your work in us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.